For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Gift of Tongues, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So Paul exhorts, follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, we were told to covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, again, he is saying the same thing, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he is speaking mysteries or divine secrets. So an interesting verse here. If you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you are speaking to God. In other words, it is a gift whereby a man might be assisted in his worship of God or in his communicating with God. For by communicating in tongues, because you do not understand it, you are bypassing the narrow channel of your intellect. Have you ever come to a place where your feelings are greater than your capacity to express them? I often do, especially when I am in the realm of spiritual things. I'm in the realm of God's goodness and God's blessing, or the greatness of God, the character of God. And as I begin to ponder on these things of God, the greatness of his love, his power, his glory, when I begin to think of all he's done for me, as nothing as I am, I suddenly come to the place where to express to God my thanksgiving and gratitude, language is a barrier. It doesn't really express what I feel. It's inadequate. Because I have to express it through language, and my vocabulary or whatever is just restricted. And to bring it through the narrow channel of my intellect is sort of like a funnel, and it just sort of backs up because of the broad base of the Spirit now channeling through the narrow funnel, the intellect. It's so cut down, it's so restricted. So God has given to us a gift whereby we can bypass the narrow channel of the intellect and we can enter into a full worship of him. My spirit, now united with his spirit, and a full, unrestricted flow of my love, of my appreciation, of my expression to him, of his greatness and of his glory as I praise and glorify the God that I worship and serve. And it's rather nice to be able to bypass the narrow channel of the intellect in the worship. Savonarola said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, Words are impossible. There aren't words to express the things of the Spirit. That vocabulary has not yet been developed. And so the Lord helps me in my expression of these divine secrets, the worship, the praise of my spirit unto Him, through the gift of tongues. And it assists me in my worship and in my praise, for if I speak in tongues, I'm actually speaking to God, though I don't understand it, the things of the Spirit as He assists me in praising and worshiping the Father, in glorifying Jesus Christ. Another capacity is that of offering to God prayer according to His will. For the Spirit also helps our infirmities, Romans chapter 8. For we don't always know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit will make intercession through groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit helping us in our prayer life, either with groanings which cannot be uttered, or with words that are uttered, inspired by the Spirit, expressing prayer to God according to the will of God in the particular situation over which I am interceding. So a gift whereby I am built up, I am benefited, I am blessed. But if I'm desiring gifts, it would be better that I desired the gift of prophecy than the gift of tongues. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For the gift of tongues is only for my own personal benefit, as I express to God my worship and praise with the help of the Spirit. But he that prophesies speaks unto men for edification and exhortation and comfort. So the gift of prophecy has much broader benefits. The area of the New Testament prophet was not so much foretelling as it was forthtelling, speaking forth God's truth to the people. And as we speak forth God's truth to the people, they're built up in their faith. They're built up in their relationship with Jesus Christ. They're built up in their fellowship with the Lord. As we speak forth God's truth, they're exhorted in their walk with the Lord, in their commitment to Jesus Christ, in their abandonment of the flesh to live and to walk after the Spirit. And they're exhorted to trust the Lord, to commit to the Lord, to believe in the Lord. And they are comforted as we speak forth God's word, as they realize it's all in God's hands and God will take care of it and God is going to work. And as I just patiently wait, I shall see the work of God and glorify and praise His name. And I'm comforted by the word of God. So the gift of prophecy has a broad value as the church is benefited by its exercise. Benefited because it is built up. It is exhorted. It is comforted. It is encouraged, which is, of course, exhortation. Now, he that speaks in an unknown tongue is built up himself. It builds you up. It is a blessed experience, one that does build you up. But he that prophesies builds up the church. Now, I would that you all spoke with tongues. I would that you all had this blessing in your own personal devotional life. But I would rather that you had the gift of prophecy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying or the building up. Now, here is where people often make a mistake, in that they believe that tongues with interpretation becomes equivalent to prophecy. Not so. But it is a common mistake among the Pentecostal churches, believing that tongues with interpretation becomes the equivalent to prophecy. Tongues, as far as I can understand from the scriptures, are always, as Paul declared here in verse 2, addressed to God. You remember, as you go back in your mind now to the second chapter of Acts, and these men had gathered together there in Jerusalem because of the phenomena, and these men and women were speaking in these other tongues. They marveled that they heard them all in their own language as they were doing what? As they were glorifying and praising God. Their tongues were addressed to God. They weren't addressed to the people. They weren't being preached to in tongues, in their own languages being preached to. But actually, they heard them glorifying God, praising God. Paul the Apostle, in a few moments here, is going to show us that we should not speak in tongues in a public assembly unless there is someone there who can interpret, in order that the whole church might be edified. For if you speak in tongues without interpretation, how is the person who is sitting over here in the seat of the unlearned going to say, yay, oh yes, amen, at your giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you're saying? What is he saying yes to, amen to? Your giving of thanks, your addressing of your thanks to God. And then Paul went on to say, indeed, you do praise God well, or it's a good way to praise God, but not without the interpretation, because the others aren't edified then. So the interpretation, because it does bring to the people the understanding of your worship and praise to God, then does edify them. As you by the Spirit are declaring the glory, the power, the greatness of God, when they can understand your words of praise and adulation and glorifying God, they are edified by your praises. Now, if you have been in Pentecostal services or circles, I'm sure that as you saw the particular phenomena of tongues, that as you recall those instances, you see that there is an inconsistency here. For in the observation over the years of Pentecostal services, where there were the public utterances in tongues, they called them messages in tongues. And the interpretation so often was after this manner: my little children, hearken unto me, for I would call unto you today to praise me. My little children, hearken unto my voice. And so often the interpretation, or I would say at this point, the supposed interpretation, is addressed to the people as God would be speaking to them, it would appear in the first person. For I, the Lord, declare unto thee that today I'm going to bless you and all. And it comes out as a message from God to man. And I have observed this over and over and over again in Pentecostal type services. Does that mean that the tongues are not genuine? No, it means that the interpretation wasn't genuine. And what I feel oftentimes happens in these meetings where you have this kind of it happening is that you do have the gift of tongues exercised followed by a gift of prophecy exercise and not the interpretation of the tongues. And I think that this is a common error in Pentecostal churches today, and you'll find it almost universally within them. Tongues followed by prophecy rather than by a true interpretation of what was uttered in the unknown tongue. So, tongues with interpretation is not an equivalent or equal to prophecy, or the same thing as prophecy. For prophecy is when God speaks to the church to edify, to exhort, to comfort. Where tongues is addressed to God, the divine mysteries, the secrets, the beauty, the glory, as my spirit worships him. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, when I come to you tonight to speak to you, I come speaking to you by revelation, by the word of knowledge, by the gift of prophecy, and by doctrine. If I stood up here the whole evening speaking in an unknown tongue, it would be a wasted evening for all of you. But by speaking to you by revelation and prophecy and word of knowledge and doctrine, you are all blessed and benefited. As we take the word of God and as we learn by it and as we grow by it in our relationship and walk with God. The speaking in tongues would only be meaningless sounds. And meaningless sounds, you don't know what to do with them. And so Paul said, there are things that don't have life that give out sound. Now, if I would go over and play the piano for you tonight, it would be meaningless to you. It would be meaningless sounds. If a gifted, accomplished pianist play, it could bless you. And so there are things like pipes, like harps, that give out sounds. But unless the person is really skilled, you know, if you just get a guitar and just hit the strings and let your fingers go wherever, you know, you don't hear any melody, you don't hear anything. It's just a jangle of noise. So tongues can be just a jangle of noise unless there is an interpretation of them. How do you know what song a person is playing, you see? If he's just making the noise on the instrument. You don't know what's being played. Or if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself for battle? Now, of course, in those days and even to the present day, they have certain bugle calls whereby they call people to wake up in the morning, they call people to come to breakfast, they call people to come for mail. They call people to assemble together. They call people to charge. They call people to retreat. And each one of these bugle sounds our bugle calls, has a message. Da-da-da-da-da-da. In a charge. And it has a message. We understand the message. But if a guy just gets up there and starts blaring on the bugle, what are we supposed to do? Retreat, charge, or go to breakfast, you know? It's an uncertain sound. He's just making a noise. And you don't know how to respond to it. So tongues can be meaningless. You don't know how to respond to it. You don't know how to react to it. So likewise, unless you utter by the tongues, or by your tongue, words that are easy to be understood, how are people going to know what you say? So just to get up and speak in tongues to people is worthless. It doesn't prepare them for anything. They don't know how to respond to it unless you speak in words they can understand, bringing the simple truths. Otherwise, it's just like speaking into the air. Now, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without significance. It may be that you're saying something extremely significant, but who knows? You may be saying something rather dumb. Therefore, if I don't know the meaning of the voice, coming into foreign languages sometimes is a very interesting experience because you may do something that's dumb in their culture and they start screaming at you and yelling at you in their language. And oftentimes I'm glad I don't understand it. I don't know how to respond, but I'm glad I don't understand what they're saying.
Do you want to gain true wisdom from God? Wisdom for Today, a daily devotional designed to help you apply God's timeless wisdom to your life. In our world, knowledge is highly valued. You may know a lot about science, nature, or other subjects, but without the wisdom of God, something essential is missing. As Proverbs 9:10 reminds us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom begins when we reverence God above all else and seek Him through His Word. Join Pastor Chuck Smith on a journey through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 365 daily readings, each with scripture and practical application. Discover how God's Word offers guidance and insight that can be applied to every part of your life. To order your copy of Wisdom for Today, for you or for a friend, visit TWFT.com or call 800-272-9673. The Word for Today, helping God's wisdom come alive in your life every day.
May the Lord bless you and keep His hand upon your life, and may He help you to walk in all righteousness and holiness, for He is Jehovah our God, and He is a holy God, and He wants His people to be a holy people, that the name of the Lord would not be blasphemed by my actions, but that people in seeing my good works will glorify our Father who is in heaven. God bless you, and may the face of the Lord shine upon you and His love burn in your hearts all through the week. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 14. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.